Well, you know, conflict is not hard to find. These walls of hostility that we build up between each other. And we see it everywhere. It's unfortunately an all too common space. We see it at a global level as nation rises up against nation. We see it at the national level. I mean, Republicans and Democrats are slinging mud at each other, and that's just going to get worse and worse as November gets closer. But you know, you don't even have to go further than your back seat to find conflict. Because those brothers and sisters, they build walls between them and they say, "Don't cross that line. Mom, she's touching me. She's touching me." Conflict everywhere. So, like I told you earlier, I want you to think about conflict in your life. Where is there a wall of hostility that's being built up? And as we think about this wall, I want you to think about it as a brick wall. You know, as we build, how do you build a brick wall? With bricks, yes, absolutely. That is right. You build a brick wall one brick at a time. You lay them down. And as we do this wall, I want us to think about this wall and these bricks as moments in time. Each brick is a different moment. Maybe it's an action. Maybe it's a word. Maybe it's love withheld. I mean, he lied to me. She belittled me in front of my friends. They ignored me and pretended I wasn't even there. Maybe he slapped me. Brick after brick, we build our walls. And sometimes these walls can be so high and so thick that they seem impossible to change. Do you have your wall in your mind? So the question before us today is, how do we break down these walls? Now, how many of you have seen the movie War Horse? It's a great movie, and I want to show you a clip from it in just a second, but I need to set up the clip. In this scene, it's World War I, which was a horrific war. And in this scene, we have the British soldiers in the trench on one side, and we have the German soldiers in the trench on the other side. Now, the battle has been raging for months, and these men are about to come into the battlefield and destroy each other's bodies by filling them full of bullets, by skewering each other with bayonets, by filling each other's lungs with toxic mustard gas. I mean, it is horrific. And I have to be that graphic in order to show the impact of this scene. Because just before this scene, a horse had been set loose in the battle. And he was running through the battlefield, and the barbed wire started attaching to his body, and he became so wrapped up in the barbed wire that he fell and couldn't move. So here's this horse in the middle of the battle between the British and the Germans. And as we watch this scene, I want you to notice, first of all, the setting. But then notice what changes. So let's watch.
It's a horse. Yeah, it's a horse.
Well, bugger me. It's a horse.
Lads, we should call him.
What do you call a horse?
Thank you. He's caught on the wire.
What do you think you're doing? Get back, do you hear me? Corporal, that's an order, get back!
Listen to him, sir, we can't leave him.
What's he doing?
It's a trap.
No, I don't think so. I think he's trying to
help. Scare him back into his hole.
It's a white flag, isn't it? You see the white flag? You just have to tend to this here horse is all.
Get back, you stupid git!
My shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in the green pastures. He paid me down beside still waters. Poor beastie. Oh, Bobby, it's all right. It's all right. Don't fucking wriggle so. You're only shredding yourself. You blind yourself. Bugger me worthless, but I didn't think to bring gloves or something to cut the... Ow!
I thought perhaps you might need these. For the barbed wire.
Yeah. Yeah, I, thanks. Cheers. Cheers. Thanks.
That's a very long strand. And when you cut it, it's going to release this, and this, and this. And they coil back rather violently. Which I'm afraid will only wound the poor fellow further.
You speak good English.
I speak English well. May I? What if we cut his head free first? So he won't try to stand up and blind himself. And then...
It's a pity he didn't bring a second pair. Then I could cut the wire here.
We need more wire cutters!
Do you see what happened there? Here's two men who were just about to kill each other. And they formed a bond of peace. Why? Because they shared compassion for the helpless creature. It is possible to break down even those walls of hostility, if even for a moment. Now, unfortunately, those walls went right back up and the killing continued. So the question remains for us today, how do we break down these walls? Well, that's where our epistle comes in. I encourage you to pull out your Bible and turn to the letter of Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is writing from prison. Now, it's important to note that he's writing from prison because of why he was imprisoned. See, he had been accused of breaching a wall in Jerusalem at the temple. Let's look at how the temple was structured in Jerusalem. If you see this picture, right there in the center, the temple itself was a walled-in structure where inside of those walls, only priests were allowed to enter. And inside of there was the Holy of Holies, and only one priest, the high priest, was allowed to enter that space only once a year. And then right outside the temple, there was the court of Israel. And in that court, only circumcised male Jews were allowed to be in that court. And then right outside of that court is the court of women, where only female Jews were allowed to gather. And then you can see off to the side is the court of Gentiles. Non-Jews could only stand to the side and weren't even allowed in front of the temple. Now imagine if we organized our worship space like that. I mean, we would have this big, thick curtain around the altar that no one could ever see except Pastor Mark. On only one day a year could he enter that space. And then we would have this big, thick curtain around the chancel, and you would never see it. And the only people who could step foot on this chancel would be Pastor Mark, Pastor Carrie, and me. And then here in the pews, only male members of this congregation could sit in the pews. Females would have to stand in the narthex and look through the window. And then everyone else would have to stand on the grass. Enter Paul. Now, Paul had been traipsing around with the Gentiles all over the countryside, and he actually brought a Gentile back to Jerusalem. Oh, the horror of it! And he was accused of bringing a Gentile right here into this space. And that's why they arrested him. So when Paul writes this passage about walls of hostility, he's not just speaking in the abstract. He's talking about literal physical walls that continually reminded him of how people, human beings, construct walls that exclude others from God's family. So let's see what he says. Look, in this passage, the passage can really be divided into two parts. There's a before and an after. So let's look at what it was like before. As we look at this next slide, he says, "So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision." Can we go to the next slide? "So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision, by those who are called the circumcision," you know, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, "remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Now here comes the key phrase to this whole passage. "But now." Say it with me. "But now." Again, "but now." Something has changed because of Jesus. Look at how Jesus is so central to this after section. All the red squiggly boxes are the Jesus phrases. Look what Paul says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who are near." Now this next section is such a beautiful snapshot of the Trinity. Let's go to this next slide. It says, "For through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father." See how this works? We have access to the Father, through the Son, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what that's called? That's the gospel. That is good news. Because what Paul is saying is that because of Jesus, because of his death on the cross, God's demonstration of love through that, he has broken down the walls of hostility. They are gone. That is good news. Now, we talk about that all the time in church. But have you ever asked yourself the question, how does that work? How does the death of Jesus make things right? Maybe think about it this way. If there's anybody in the universe that has a reason to build a wall, it's God. Think about all of the times that we, his beautiful children, his creation, have hurt him, have spoken against him, have hurt each other, have lied, have cheated, have stolen, each one of those being a brick in the wall. When Jesus died on the cross, it was like Jesus said, that God said, that in Jesus, he takes each brick and he says, I know what you've done. I know the bricks. But I have died to the brick. It's history. But now, I love you. I forgive you. And as God looks at us through that eternal love, that brick, it just vanishes. It's gone. And then Jesus comes to us, and he looks at all the walls that we've built between each other, and he says, you know, I died to that. I broke down that wall. So how about it? How about breaking down your walls? So how is your wall today? All of those bricks that we've built up, those bricks that have defined you, those bricks that at one time were the bricks that said that there's those people over there and then there's me over here. But now, we can let them fall. Because of the love demonstrated through Jesus and in the power of God's Spirit that works between us, we can let the past be behind us and move toward the future of building peace as God's people. Now, I realize that it is way more complex than that. And that in a 20-minute sermon, there is no way that I could say, well, this is how you solve all of your walls of hostility. I can't do that. And I get it that there are legitimate times when people need to be kept away from each other. I know that that's true. But I think more often than not, we hide behind the walls. So maybe this week, maybe we can just take one brick, one thing that someone has done to you. Write it down on a piece of paper, on a post-it note, put it somewhere, and ask God to help you smash that brick. Realizing that Jesus has already smashed it, help God, have God give you the eyes to see it just vanish and be gone. And then maybe, one brick at a time, we can break down the walls that divide us. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, we love our walls. Help us to break them down. Help us to have the courage to embrace the love that you have for us, what you have done for us in Jesus, and that we can break down the walls between each other, that we can strive for peace, for your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen.